You know, it's amazing at what God's Word does. You know that? A week ago, I told on Wednesday night about a young man I talked to at Circle K over in Coolidge. He approached me. I was putting gas in. And he says, I want to give you some literature. And it was a Watchtower. And I said to him, I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? And he looked kind of funny at me, and he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, if you died, where would you go? He said, well, I hope not hell. And he says, but he said, I'm not sure about heaven. And I said to him, oh, I got one. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I don't have it on. But so then I said to him, oh, the light's not on, Mike. Are you lit up there? Anyway, so I said to him, I said, well, I took him through the plan of salvation, and so he said, well, do you believe in the 144,000? I said, oh, yeah. He says, really? I said, yeah. I said, do you have any idea who they are? And he says, kind of. I said, do you know who they are, though? He said, well, no. I said, well, I do. He goes, you do? I said, sure. And I said, here, let me show you. So I took my Bible out, and I showed him. Is this one working? Yeah. I told him, I said, well, I said, right here, I said, in the book of... Now is it on? Should be on. Anyway, well, he wants to record this. There, now it's on. But anyway, he says... I showed him and took him to Revelation chapter 7, and I said, now this is who they're going to be. There's going to be 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel. And I read them to him. Or I had him read them to me. And I said, now, I said, let's see who they are. I said, do you think that there are going to be any women in that? She said, oh yeah, there'll be women in it. And I said, well, let's take a look and see where they are. Shall we? And so we went to Revelation chapter 14, and I showed him in there who the 144,000 were going to be. They were going to be young Christian men, virgins. And he's looking at that, and he looks at me, and he goes, I've never seen that before. I said, that's who they're going to be. I said, and do you have any idea when they're going to be here? He said, well, they're here now. I said, no, they're not. They're here during the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. And I said, they are here to evangelize the Jews. That's why there's 12,000 from every tribe. They're not here to evangelize the Gentiles. He goes, man, you know an awful lot about the Bible. I said, you think maybe? I said, don't you know that much about the Bible? He goes, no. I said, well, I said, I've been around a little longer than you have, and I said, here, I'll give you one of my cards. He goes, you're a pastor. I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. So anyway, today, we went back to Circle K, and I went in to get my wife a thing of iced tea. And I didn't see him, but everybody in the van did. He got out of his car, and he started coming towards the van. He saw the van pull in, but he didn't know who we were. He come towards the van. The minute he saw me, he wheeled around, went back to his car, got in his car, and locked the doors. A friend of mine was in Circle K, and I went walking in. He says, did you see that? I said, what? He says, that guy out there in the car. I looked out, and he goes, that guy? I said, yeah. He says, yeah. He said, why? What happened? He says, he was out of the car. He was going right towards you. He saw who you were. He wheeled around on his heels and went right back in the car and locked the doors. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, God's Word is a very powerful thing, isn't it? You know, and we need to be ready to give people an answer. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse number 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Paul says, "For this ye know," Paul wants his readers to understand what he's about to say. He informs them that what he's about to say, they should already know. This is something that they had been taught before, but he's going to reiterate it a little bit and let them know exactly what he's talking about. He says that no whoremonger. Now, a whoremonger is what we would consider today as a homosexual, someone who has intimate relations with the same person in the same sex. In Judges chapter 20 and verse 6 uses the word lewdness. This is the same word for whoremonger in the New Testament. God does not like sexual sins. In Hebrews 13:4 it says, "Marriage is honorable in all that the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." You know, how people feel they can go and do things contrary to the Word of God and get away with it is beyond me. I cannot understand how people feel they can do things that are completely opposite of what God's Word says and get away with it. You know, AIDS is not was not known until a godless society felt they could do whatever they wanted and started to live with those of the same sex and have intimate relations, men with men and women with women. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 32, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malishness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, worshippers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure with them that do them." You know, men may feel that he is so wise and so humorous, yet God is going to have the last laugh. Amen? Now, in the scripture that I read, there's an awful lot of translations that have changed the wording in that drastically, because it talks about men with men, women with women. And, I mean, it spells it right out. And they have changed all of that wording in there so that it's gender okay. And even the gay lifestyle has their own Bible now, and they have written this completely out. Revelation 1:24 to 32 is not in their Bibles. They've taken it right out because it means them, and they don't want it to sound like it's them. And but man will have to suffer the pain and the affliction of his sin. You know, listen, adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. Homosexuality is sin. Premarital sex is sin. All of these are sin. They're all sin in the eyes of God. If it was sin in the days of Paul, do you think it's still sin today? If it was sin in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, do you think it's still sin today? It's the same exact sins. Now, Too many pastors today are afraid to preach against sexual sin. They're too afraid that they're going to be sued or, I guess they can sue me for all they want. They're not going to get a whole lot because I don't have much. The Bible says that it's sin, and if it's sin, I'm going to preach on it. You know, Revelation 22:15 says, "For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." What we need to realize is that the Bible talks a lot about this type of sin, and yet preachers won't preach on it because they're afraid of it. It's the same way with hell. Hell is something that a lot of preachers don't preach on anymore because people don't want to hear it. You know, they would rather hear sunshine and roses than they would about hell and sin. But I'll tell you what, as long as I'm behind this pulpit, you're going to hear it. If you don't like it, then you should find a different church. You know, one that fits your fancy. You know, but it says, nor unclean person. Unclean comes from a Greek word which means morally unclean. Unclean thoughts. Those who, you know, visit Playboy and all these magazines, and those who go to X-rated websites on their computers, and who go to porn shops and porn video stores, and those who like to tell and like to hear dirty stories, and they like to listen to what people are saying. They may not be a physical affair, but they think about it on a regular basis. And, they say, well, I'm only human. Everybody thinks about it. Well, I beg to differ with them. In Matthew 5:28, it says this, and this is one verse that everybody should remember. It says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And I use this verse, believe it or not, quite a bit. And the reason I do is on the side of my car I have the Ten Commandments. And one of them says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so many times people say, well, I've never had an affair with anybody. I've never committed adultery. Well, have you ever thought of it with another woman? Well, yeah, everybody does. And then I say, well, the Bible says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's just terrible. Nor covetous man. We talked about this the last time. A covetous man is one who has lust for the things of this world. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, someone who looks at the world's goods and the flash of this world instead of looking at God is a covetous man or woman. And you may say, well, how can anyone put anything above God? Well, you know, if people were not putting things before God, I don't think there'd be many churches in the United States that wouldn't be full every single Sunday morning. People today do not feel God is important. You know, their boats are more important. Their jet skis are more important. Their fishing is more important. Their cottages are more important. Their golf game is more important. Their sleep is more important. Their beer and their drugs are more important. Their children, they say, are more important. Well, you know, believe it or not, any time you put something before the Lord, it becomes an idol. And it becomes covetousness or a covet to you. People today covet things that they can touch, taste, smell, and see instead of coveting God. You know, how sad it is when people are more worried about what they will wear going to a club or to work than where they'll spend eternity. And you know, there are so many people today that have so many worldly things. You know, you look at their cars, you look at their houses and everything else. They covet them. Then he goes on to say, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God? You know, there'll be a whole lot of people who I believe are going to be surprised one day when they find themselves in a very warm and dark place. You know, for the things that they did here on earth. You know, I do not believe that a person who is a whoremonger will have a better place in hell than a person who is a coveter. I do not feel a person who thinks dirty thoughts will have any nicer place in hell than someone who idolizes the things of this world. You know, does this mean that those who do these things cannot be saved? No, it doesn't. It does not mean that one tiny bit. In John 8:11, it says, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. This is talking about the woman who was taken in the act of adultery. They brought her to Jesus, and they said, this woman needs to die because the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. This woman needs to die. And what did Jesus do? He bent over, rode in the dirt, and he looked up at him and he says, he who is without any sin, let him cast the first stone. He bent over and he started writing back in the dirt again. He looked up and there was no man there other than the woman. And he said to her, he says, well, where's everybody? She says, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Think about that. Jesus forgave her sin of adultery. Now, when we are saved, we become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. The old all things become new. If a person is saved, they should not want to do the things that they used to do anymore. There should not be a desire there for them to do them. You know, what Paul was saying here is that those who do these things and continue to practice them will not go to heaven because they were probably not saved in the beginning. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I've led a lot of people to the Lord over the years, hundreds, probably thousands, and yet I see some of them same people that I led to the Lord living a life that is not Christian-like. And I say to myself, did they really get saved, or was it just a front? You know, did they really get saved, or, you know, are they just living a life thinking that they've got fire insurance? Amen? You know, in 1 John 1, 9 through 2, 5, it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sin, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, and whereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the law of God perfected, whereby know we that we are in Him. You know, that spells it out right there, folks. You know, John was talking to Christians when he wrote 1 John. And if you go through 1 John and you say, wow, you know what? He's talking right to me. He probably is. You know, It is not God's desire to see anyone go to hell, but everyone come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Amen. Was there anybody held out there? I don't think so. The word "all" there means everybody. There's not one person upon the face of this earth, not one, that cannot get saved. You know, the salvation has been given to everyone. You know, I think of Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved," right? No, "shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can go to heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you.